One of the things that seems to happen when it's time for a pastor to move on is we begin to reflect on what has taken place while that pastor has been here. McGray and I talked that some of that was happening as he was leaving, and I remember him telling me how absolutely amazed he was at how much had taken place in the 2 short years that he was here. I remember him telling me that most of that he hadn't even realized until the reflection started on his way out the door. And I find myself somewhat in a similar situation. I am just amazed as we have been reflecting as a church and as individuals on some of the things that have taken place in the last 2 years, at some of the growth that has happened in your lives. Some of you have shared some amazing stories with me. Many of you have been very gracious in pointing to me as a source of a lot of that growth and a lot of the encouragement for where things have gone and happened in your faith and in your life. I am so grateful to have been a part of all of that for each of you. It has been amazing. But what is even more amazing to me is the growth that God has provided. As Phil and I were talking in Sunday school, Phil said that, you know, he was going to be sharing these things that he was very concerned continue, things that have been important to him in the last year or so. And was telling me how I had been a part of each of those things in his life. He's talking about the upper room. And you were telling me about the encouragement that I had shown for you and towards you and developing a devotional life and having a tool such as the upper room to do that. And promoting the use of the upper room in a devotional time. And I got to thinking, I really hadn't felt like I had done that at all. I hadn't felt like any of that credit deserved to be laid at my feet. And I was sitting there thinking, well, from my perspective, Phil has been the one going, the new upper rooms are in, make sure you announce it. Been setting them up here open, big signs, announce the upper rooms are in. From my perspective, Phil has been this incredible encouragement in the church and in my life and in my ministry to remind you of the upper room and remind you of the daily devotion. Isn't that interesting? Talking about the Celebrate Jesus mission, Leonard and I went as well as Phil, and we had some wonderful discussions about that event. And following the event, Leonard and I have talked, and Phil and I have talked, and they have said, thank you for encouraging us to go. Little did they know that if they hadn't gone, I wouldn't have gone. And in many ways, Leonard and Phil are the reason I went and had the experience I did at Celebrate Jesus. And oh, what an amazing experience it was. If you can, take a week off from work, sleep on a church floor, and walk around neighborhoods in the hot sun. As awful as that sounds, knocking on strangers' doors and asking them to come to a party. And then, you know, really, you know, meddling by saying, you know, and is there anything in your life I could pray about? You know, as horrible as that sounds to all of us who like our privacy, who like our comfy beds, and who really have grown accustomed to air conditioning, it is a marvelous experience. It is 39 times better in the rewards you reap than you could even imagine. And it is so unexpected. I guess that's the way I would talk about so much of what happens in the world and in the churches in our lives with God. It is so unexpected. One plants and one waters. What amazes me is that when I come into a church, like the scripture says, Paul says, I laid the foundation of Christ in your life. I was that tool. Apollos, the great preacher of the early church, who many said could preach circles around Paul, came in after Paul to that church. Even we learn in another part of 1 Corinthians that Cephas, another name for Peter, was instrumental in the church in Corinth. Boy, did they have bragging rights about the kind of people that had ministered to them. But what Paul said is, everybody that comes in is building on the foundation of who went before them. And one of the things that I find so fun about being in ministry is, I don't know the seeds the pastor before me, and the pastor before that, and the pastor before that have planted. I have no clue when I walk in what kind of seeds are under the surface, what I'm watering, and what it will sprout up. It's kind of like like buying a box of unmarked mixed seeds at a nursery and just planting them on the ground and watering and seeing what will happen. It's amazing, you know? Maybe it'll be an apple tree. Maybe it'll be a bean. Maybe it'll be a dandelion, which I love dandelions and miss them. You know, it's just so amazing to me. And what is really fun is sometimes I even get the credit. I just come along and go, ooh, isn't that beautiful? Has anybody noticed this growing here? And everybody thinks, I'm the one who planted it. I'm the one who made it grow. Just because I'm the one to notice it first and point it out and said, has anybody seen the beautiful rose over here in this corner? Has anybody noticed the delicious golden apples that are developing on this tree? It has been my pleasure as your pastor to point out the much of the growth that has taken place in this church before I ever got here. That has been taking place in your life before I ever knew your name. God has been doing amazing things at Bethel, and God will continue to do amazing things at Bethel. Y'all have had some fantastic pastors, and some fantastic things have happened here. Sometimes we can get real wrapped up in the person that presents the message, the person that prayed with us, the person that was there, the instrument of God at that crisis in our life, the person that first pointed out God's grace. In fact, that's what happened in the church at Corinth. They got real wrapped up in the messenger. They got real wrapped up in who was giving the message and forgot about the messenger being just a servant, just a tool, just a gardener in God's church and God's garden. They started arguing and fighting over who was better. The great church planter, or Apollos, the great preacher. And you can kind of just imagine some of those debates and arguments, can't you? Now, is it more important to be the one that can really organize a church? Or is it really more important to be the one that can preach incredible messages that inspire the heart? Ooh, and then Cephas, the people who knew about Peter and Cephas got in on it. Peter and Cephas are the same name. One's his Greek name and what's his Roman name? And they even started getting arguments about, or was it more important to be like one of the original apostles? And they started fighting over which one they followed and which one brought them to know Christ and who was more important. Now, one of the things that can happen and does happen and is really sad when a minister leaves is sometimes people have gotten real attached to that pastor. And I have to tell you, I've gotten real attached to many of you. And I am grateful for the relationship we have. But if you have become attached to me versus Christ, then I haven't done my job. If as I leave here, I have not left a healthy foundation for the person to come after me to build on, if I cannot celebrate their ministry, and if you cannot celebrate their ministry because you are so tied up in me, that divides the church rather than builds the church. That counteracts the ministry. That is juvenile. That's exactly what Paul calls it. In fact, if you look up just a few verses I didn't read, Paul's kind of mean. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? Kind of mean, isn't he? Kind of says, you know what? If we get wrapped up in personalities, we're not just not being the church, we're being small, petty. Actually, calling you children is an insult to how wonderful kids are. You know, because kids can often get along better than adults. So I'm not even sure what to say we become. is so easy to translate our love for one another into being territorial and defending one another instead of realizing that we're all in the same thing. One of the things that hurts me most in ministry is hearing negative things said about another pastor. I have often had people with every good intention come up to me to tell me what a wonderful minister I am by telling me how awful some other minister they had in their life was. That's kind of like coming up and telling me, my youngest sister telling me what a wonderful sister I am in terms of telling me how awful my older sister is. I love them both. They're both my sisters. I love them both. I don't want to hear anything. Now, I can say all kinds of negative things about my older sister, but my younger sister's not allowed. I will have to defend her then. Have you ever noticed that? I can say all kinds of awful things about my mother, but if my husband starts, you know, it's over. Have you ever noticed that? Now, of course, as pastors, we often get together and click our tongues about each other and the whole bit. But the thing is, we consider ourselves in this together. And Paul, he says in the scripture that we are all in this together. Each builder must choose carefully, though, how to build. I'm looking for it. It says in verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose. And each will receive wages according to the labor of each. We have a common purpose. It doesn't matter if it's McGray, or Alex, or Glenn Mitchell, or Laura Fisher, or Stephen Riddle. It doesn't matter, even to me, if it's Phil, or Charlie, or Julia, or Leonard, or anyone in this congregation sharing the message of Christ. It's not about who's better. It's not about who can do more, or who can be more, or how much a difference that personal person made personally in your life. What matters is the foundation we're all standing on, Jesus Christ. And what matters is our common purpose and all pointing to Christ. There's a famous theologian, Karl Barth. And in his house, I believe in Switzerland, when he lived in Germany, it was probably there, he had a painting above his fireplace. This is a famous painting with a famous name and a famous artist. I don't remember any of that. And you know what? Doesn't matter. The painting is a painting of John the Baptist in the foreground and the cross of Christ in the background. And the artist has made it so that everything focuses your attention past John the Baptist to the cross and to Christ. And one of the features of that is John the Baptist reaching over his shoulder, pointing with his finger, this long, elongated arm and finger to the cross of Christ. All that we are, all that we do in ministry is to point to Christ. I am so grateful that I have been here. I am so grateful in the ways in which Bethel United Methodist Church has pointed my life to Christ. The way you individually have focused my faith and brought Christ into focus for me. And believe me, I am so grateful that I have been a part of that for you. But let us never forget, we are servants in God's garden. That's it. It doesn't matter if I was the one that watered, if I was the one that planted, if I was the one that tilled the hard ground. What matters is we're all in this together. And that it's God that provides the growth. When I leave here, next Sunday will be my last Sunday. When I leave, I will no longer be your pastor. I will still love you. I will still care deeply about all that has happened here and about you. But I will no longer be your pastor. When I leave, I leave. That is hard to do, and some people think, ouch, does that mean she didn't love us or didn't take seriously what happened here? No. That means I love you so much. And I take so seriously what God has done here in your lives and what God will continue to do in your lives that I can enjoy an expectation as well as in tears and sorrow. Let go. This is a healthy garden. And another gardener is going to come in
And I'm going to be assigned to another part of God's garden. And I'm going to have plenty of work to do. But I can leave and do that because I take so seriously what happened here. God provided the growth. And God will continue to do that in your life and in mine. Let us pray. Dear Lord, there is so much that brings great sorrow in partings, in saying goodbye, and admitting that our time together as pastor and church is quickly passing. But Lord, give us the assurance of your presence, that there is no place we go or nothing we experience that you are not in. And as you have been here in my ministry, providing growth unimaginable, you will be here in Stephen's ministry and the ministry of Bethel United Methodist Church, continuing to provide your awesome growth in our lives. May we be faithful stewards. May we faithfully water and plant your garden. In Christ's name.